Please forgive me for preempting The Better Way for just a moment. My name is Todd Friel. I am the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of working with Libby Glossin on a daily basis and producing this podcast, which is already, it's a brand new podcast. It's already ranked in the top 2% of all podcasts worldwide. That's amazing. And I think what attracts so many people is the intelligent talk for women, the biblical application of scripture so that women can be the God glorifiers that God intended them to be. If you're benefiting from The Better Way, would you please consider supporting Fortis Institute as the year draws to a close? We have a matching gift campaign. Your impact will be doubled. And at this time of year, your support is so needed. Would you please consider partnering with us at fortisinstitute.org/donate?
That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glossin.
Let me guess, your inbox, your social media feed, maybe even your planner, they're all screaming about one thing right now: resolutions. As we are creeping up on the calendar page turn to a new year, we look back at a year that has just whizzed by. Thanks for joining me today on The Better Way. If you haven't yet, would you do me a solid and hit follow on Apple or Spotify or Amazon or wherever you're listening so you never miss an episode? Or you can download the free Fortis Plus app to listen anytime. And if you're on Apple, would you leave a review? If you're on Spotify, tap that star rating thingy. All of us at Fortis would be so grateful. Listen, if you're anything like me, you've probably been bombarded already with all the noise about New Year's resolutions, the goals you have to set, the vision boards, get your membership at the local gym going, get your journal with the bullet points, 90-day plans, new year, new you. This is the year you finally get it all together. Sound familiar? Well, truth be told, some of that's fine. Some of it's even helpful. It's okay to strive for excellence in our lives, to work harder to be healthier or more active or more productive. I actually love fresh starts. I'm all for growth and reflection and making plans and making changes. But today, I want to talk about a better way to think about resolutions themselves, especially as people who believe in a sovereign, faithful God. Because let's be honest, most resolutions are either about fixing something we don't like about ourselves or chasing after some version of life we think is going to make us happy or make us finally feel okay. As Christians, we can't start the year with the question, what do I want to accomplish? We have to start with the question, who is God and how should I respond to him this year? When we think about looking forward to the new year, scripture actually offers us a very different starting point than our pop culture does. And that's what we're going to dig into today. Now, let's ground this whole conversation with one of my favorite verses for a new year. And it's not the verse you might think. It's not Jeremiah 29:11. It's not Isaiah 43:18. It's actually Proverbs 6:9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. That'll stop you in your tracks, won't it? I love this verse. We're allowed to plan. Planning is good. Proverbs doesn't say don't plan, but we're reminded from the start, our plans don't control the year or our lives or our kids' lives or our friends' lives. God does. God isn't just watching your year unfold and crossing his fingers it's going to turn out okay. He's actually sovereign over it. He's ordering it. He's governing it. Every success, every failure, every closed door, every open one. Yes, we do make plans, and that's not wrong. It's actually wise to think ahead, to be intentional. But at the end of the day, it's God who determines what actually happens in our lives. That might sound a little unsettling at first, like wait a second, so I have no control? But actually, it's incredibly freeing, because if God is the one establishing my steps, I don't have to carry the whole year on my shoulders. I don't have to make the perfect plan. I don't have to struggle to make it all happen. I don't have to fear what's coming, because my Father already knows. So before we start plotting out what we want to do differently this year, stop and think about this. Ask yourself, do you trust God with your year? Because any resolution we make that isn't grounded in that trust, in that surrender to God's will, is eventually going to crumble. So before you even write out a single resolution, think about that, because all your goals, all your intentions, they're not going to mean much if you don't actually trust the one who holds the year in his hands, holds your life in his hands. Okay, now let's talk about the actual idea of resolutions for a second. It's easy to think the new year is all about self-improvement, but scripture doesn't call us to clean ourselves up. It actually calls us to be transformed. P.S. One of my friends, Greg Gifford, he's got a podcast on this subject that's actually called Transformed. Great resource for the new year, really for every day of the year, to start thinking biblically about the problems and challenges we face as believers and to start responding with faithful obedience to God and his word. This biblical idea of transformation actually starts with repentance, not resolutions. Now, we talk a lot about sanctification, that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit making us more like Jesus. That's a grace-driven process. It's not about you setting goals and hoping to white-knuckle your way into holiness. But we are called to participate in our sanctification, our becoming more like Jesusness. It's a synergistic cooperative effort. God plays a role and you play a role. So let me ask you this. Are your goals about behavior modification or heart transformation? We all want to grow, but the Bible doesn't just talk about changing our behavior. It talks about transformed hearts, which is hugely, enormously more life-changing than just doing what we know we're supposed to do because we know we're supposed to do it. That's just morality. Wouldn't you rather different responses and God-honoring actions be your go-to instead of, you know, the thing you have to make yourself do so you don't make God mad? That whole line of thinking, it's not biblical, it's not accurate, and it really is a distorted view of who God is. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And that's what we really need, right? Not just better habits, but a renewed mind, a transformed heart. Interchangeable expressions, by the way. And that starts not with resolutions, but with repentance. And how do we know what we need to repent of? How do we renew our minds? With the Word of God. You got to read it, my friends. Read it for yourselves. Study it. Consume it. And then, like my dear pastor friend out west says, be like a cow chewing its cud, swallow it, and then bring it back up again and chew on it some more. So here's one more question for you. As you look back on this past year, what do you need to repent of? Not in a hang my head and feel horrible way, although conviction that leads to repentance does and should bring with it godly sorrow. I'm talking about an honest, hopeful, gospel-centered way of reflecting that reminds us that we need Christ in every moment of every day to live lives that reflect the new creation we are in Him. Lives that exude the realities of being in union with Christ, because repentance isn't about beating yourself up. It's about turning back to the one who loves you and forgives you and is committed to your growth. Maybe your biggest need isn't a new Bible reading plan or a new morning routine. Maybe it's just bringing your sin, your sinful patterns, your idolatrous heart to Jesus and saying, "Lord, I need you again." That's actually the best place to start a new year. So before you list your resolutions, take time to confess your sins from the past year. Start the year in repentance, not just resolve. One of my favorite psalms to pray right back to the Lord is Psalm 139, 23 through 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Let that be your New Year's posture. Now, let's talk about results, because if you're anything like me, you love a good goal. There's something so motivating about thinking big and getting excited for what could be. But here's the thing. In the Christian life, God isn't asking for grandiose, highfalutin plans. He's asking for faithfulness in the day-to-day, in the moments of real life. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." This is slow, steady, everyday obedience. It's not glamorous. It's not Instagram worthy, but it's good. And it's the way God designed sanctification to work. The verse right before Galatians 6:8, obviously, says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So plant, plan, sow to the Spirit, not to your flesh, and then don't grow weary. Don't lose heart in doing good, because in due season, we get the good harvest. So many of our resolutions crash by February. Why do you think that is? It's because we expect instant fruit. Can you imagine if a farmer planted his crop and then the next morning he got up, he looked out at his field that hadn't changed much since the day before, threw his hands up, and quit farming right then because he didn't see a field of fully grown corn? We would call that ridiculous, wouldn't we? Corn takes time to grow. The Christian life is like a cornfield. It isn't about immediate results. It's about long-term obedience in the same direction, the direction of walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh, the direction of bearing the fruit God grows in us. We just talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? The fruit of the Spirit versus the deeds of the flesh. Y'all, God calls us to faithfulness. So this year, instead of focusing on where you want to be by next December, how about we focus on how you're going to be faithful in January? Or tomorrow and the next day. Instead of asking, how can I make this year amazing? Maybe ask, how can I be faithful this week? Sometimes that means reading your Bible when you just don't feel like it. Sometimes it means praying again, even when the answer hasn't come. Show up to church when you're tired. Repent again when you fall short. This kind of intentionality delights our great God. And over time, in His timing, the fruit will come. Fruit of repentance, not resolutions.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. All right, so let's start backwards today. I want to talk about Fortis Plus. It's our app. It is absolutely free of charge. We tell you that all the time around here. But here's a challenge for you in the coming year. Don't download it. Don't. Not yet. First, figure out why your last 5 or 10 apps even, you know, your spiritual apps, why they're collecting dust and you have to swipe to like page 3 on your phone to even find them. When you figure out the issue going on with that, then consider Fortis Plus, because we don't want you to download Fortis Plus and just add it to the graveyard of good intentions on your phone. When you're actually ready to engage, not just download and forget, then that's when you go and find Fortis Plus. Make it a part of your daily routine. You can go right now where you download apps on your smartphone or even your smart TV, and you can find it. Again, it's absolutely free of charge. It's not a free trial. It is free forever. Download it to your phone right now, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Now let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
So, sow to the Spirit. Plow the soil of your heart. Make good plans. Start with repentance, not resolutions. All great in theory, but living it out, how does that work? I had a young lady ask me that exact question this past week. She said, "Okay, I totally get the concept of being made more and more like Christ little by little, and I totally understand that God has a role and I have a role in my sanctification. But what does that mean, like in real life?" And I thought that was a fantastic question because it's what all of us face when we read God's word and we recognize the call to action and we want to do something. We get it. But what does it really look like to live it out? Well, here's a few simple things that can help you start the year with a heart that's rooted in truth and grace. And I'm praying that this is going to be an encouragement to you, not a checklist, but fertilizer for cultivating a heart that's bent toward Christ, a framework to function within that's going to outlast all the New Year's resolutions you could ever make. Number one, start with worship. Begin January 1st, not with an agenda, but with praise. Before you open that planner, check the boxes, do all the things for the New Year's resolution, open your Bible. Scripture after scripture points us to thankfulness, gratitude for who God is and what he's done for us in the person of Christ and what he has in store for us in eternity and all the blessings that we enjoy now. Check out what Psalm 103, 1 through 2 says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. David is talking here to his own soul. He's reminding himself and us that praise is not just a reaction, it's a decision. Sometimes our hearts might not feel like praising, but our souls need it. And when we thank and praise God, something happens deep within us. Gratitude repositions our hearts. It takes our eyes off our problems and puts them back on the one who holds every solution. When we start to thank God, truly thank him, our perspective begins to change. Praise lifts our chins up above the chaos of life and reminds us of who he is. Faithful, merciful, loving, and full of grace. And then Psalm 103 goes on to list some of these benefits that we're not supposed to forget. He forgives all our sins, heals our diseases, redeems our lives from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Isn't that beautiful? God doesn't just bless us a little. He blesses us abundantly. And when we take time to praise him for those blessings, our faith gets stronger. We're motivated to transformation because of who God is, not because of a resolution we wrote on a list on December 31st. So make it your practice today and every day. Do what David did. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Thank God for what he's already done. Let praise be the first word of your year. Number two, stick to the ordinary means of grace. Now, that phrase might sound a little theological, but it just means the normal, everyday ways God grows us through his word, through prayer, and through fellowship with his people, the local church body. Psalm 1 paints a beautiful picture of the blessed person, like a tree planted by streams of water whose leaf doesn't wither, who bears fruit in its season. That kind of growth doesn't come from some sudden burst of willpower. It comes from deep roots and daily nourishment. And that's where what we call the ordinary means of grace come in. You don't need a complicated Bible plan or an hour-long quiet time to start this. Maybe you just read one psalm a day or meditate on a few verses as you fold clothes. The goal isn't to check a box. It's to hear God's voice. His word is living and active, and when we draw near to it, it shapes our hearts in ways no resolution ever could. And then you got prayer. Prayer isn't about fancy words or perfect timing. It's about relationship. It's how we talk to God throughout our day. Now, if you want to hear from God, hear what he has to say, circle back to reading his word. That's how he talks to us. And then God grows us through community, through worship, through preaching of his word, through serving one another. And yes, even those challenging relationships that refine us. So if you've drifted from your local church or being in fellowship with other believers, maybe it's time to reconnect. I know this might sound like kindergarten, and maybe you consider yourself one of those college-level Christians, but don't skip over these ordinary means of grace that God gives us in pursuit of some next level spiritual high. These are the ordinary places where extraordinary grace flows. Number three, set one spiritual goal. You don't need a whole list, not 10, just one. Something like, by God's grace, I want to grow in patience, or I want to memorize one psalm. Maybe it's reading through the New Testament. Maybe it's praying more intentionally for your family. Keep it simple. Let it be about intimacy with Jesus, not productivity. Number four, focus on your heart and your habits. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says this, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. These verses call us to action, don't they? Put off, put on, and then there's that transformation talk again. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think of it like taking off a dirty shirt. You got a shirt on that's covered in mud, and you take it off and you put on a brand new one that's fresh off the rack. Every ungodly habit comes from a deeper heart desire, something we're trying to satisfy ourselves with apart from God. You can't simply stop those ungodly bad habits. You have to replace them with something that reflects the new self in Christ. So if you've been filling your mind with negative or worldly content, you would replace that with worship or scripture reading. If you struggle with complaining, practice gratitude instead. That's your put on. If you've been isolating yourself, put on a new habit of fellowship with other believers. See how this is a stop and start thing? It's not only a put off or a stop it mentality, but a put on and start doing this instead mindset. When we put on new behaviors, what we're doing is training our hearts to desire what is holy. Ephesians 4 tells us the key to transformation is the renewing of our minds, and that happens through time in God's Word. God's Word doesn't just inform us, it transforms us. Over time, the Bible rewires our thoughts, our desires, our habits, and that's where the real change comes in, the lasting change, the change that comes when we live out of who we already are in Christ. Okay, number five, rely on the Spirit, not yourself. You know, as followers of Jesus, most of us do want to grow. We want to love more deeply, pray more faithfully. We want to overcome sin and live with peace and joy. And I'm sure that's what drives you to those got to make these changes lists. But if you're anything like me, sometimes that desire actually turns into striving. We start thinking, it's all up to us. If we just try harder or do more, we'll finally become who God wants us to be. But God never intended for us to live the Christian life in our own strength. Philippians 2:13 tells us that it's God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Isn't that amazing? God Himself. Through the Holy Spirit, He is the one who gives us both the desire and the ability to live in obedience. And that means we're not alone in our growth. We're not left to figure it out on our own. The Holy Spirit doesn't just empower us, He leads us. Sometimes it's that gentle elbow nudge in your heart, a conviction about something you've said, or a sudden reminder to pray for someone. The more you listen and respond, the more attuned you're going to become to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through Scripture too. He brings God's truth to mind right when we need it. So when you read your Bible, don't just read for information. Ask Him, Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Show me what you want me to see today. It's not about how much you read. It's about the Holy Spirit making it alive in your heart. And hey, rest in His power when you fail, because you will. We all do. There's going to be moments where you lose patience, where you slip into old habits or feel like you're not making any progress. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit dwells in you if you are a true follower of Christ, and He doesn't give up. He continues the work that God began. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. You don't grow by sheer willpower. You grow by grace. The Holy Spirit is working in you, even when you can't see it. It's not up to you to fix yourself this year. You don't have to chase perfection. Jesus has already secured your standing. So walk into this year with open hands and a willing heart. Make your plans and then lay them down before the Lord, trusting that He will establish your steps. And now that you know the better way to think about your plans and the steps God is establishing for you, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.